This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, we'll be analyzing night three of the DNC. Here's a little preview. President Obama very clear about why he wants Hillary Clinton in the Oval Office. It's about his executive actions in protecting expanding Obamacare, saving his Iranian nuclear deal, pushing SCOTUS to the left, and supposedly a plan to defeat ISIS that Hillary Clinton will implement, not President Obama. And of course, the refugees issue as well. That list goes on. We'll talk about it today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live.
We brought more of our troops home to their families, and we delivered justice to Osama bin Laden. Through diplomacy, we shut down Iran's nuclear weapons program. She's worked closely with our intelligence teams, our diplomats, our military. She has the judgment and the experience and the temperament to meet the threat from terrorism. It's not new to her.
As Secretary of State, she implemented tough sanctions against Iran to pave the way for a diplomatic breakthrough to curtail a nuclear weapons program.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Keep politicians out of our business when we're not ready to parent, and support us when we are. That's what gives our families the best chance to get ahead and stay ahead. And that is what Hillary Clinton has spent decades fighting for.
This is a complicated and uncertain world we live in. The threats are too great. The times are too uncertain to elect Donald Trump as president of the United States. Now, let me finish. No major party nominee in the history of this nation has ever known less or has been less prepared to deal with our national security.
And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo in the studio. Than Bennett joining me in Washington, D.C. He's our Director of Government Affairs. Let me first say, it was a big night at the DNC. Obviously, three heavy hitters, President Obama, Vice President Biden, of course, the VP nominee, Senator Tim Kaine. We'll talk about all of it. It was also another night celebrating abortion with cheers and even having abortion with cheers at the Democrat National Convention. We'll talk about that. We'll play those sound bites for you. But in the opening of the broadcast, you heard from Senator Tim Kaine praising Hillary Clinton's work, getting tough sanctions on Iran, and then ultimately that led to a nuclear deal. Do you realize those tough sanctions are gone? And because of that Iranian, quote, nuclear deal, which is not an actual treaty, is not on paper, is not a legal obligation for any of the parties, because of that nuclear deal, Iran is on a path to a nuclear weapon and better centrifuges. In just the next decade, they will be not violating international law by putting in high-powered, brand-new centrifuges that can then lead to a Iranian nuclear weapon. So they got the sanctions lifted. Those tough sanctions lifted, and they got a deal that leads them on a path to a bomb. Of course, we're going to talk about, which I think was the major speech last night, not just Senator Tim Kaine's, but President Obama's, because I think what we heard from President Obama, Than, which is please, please, please elect Hillary Clinton so that my policies, especially all my executive actions that I did outside of Congress and the Supreme Court and on immigration and on Obamacare, all of that that I did outside of Congress, please elect Hillary Clinton so she protects my legacy and even expands on it.
It was a plea for an extension of the Obama years, no doubt about it, Jordan. You know, he said that Hillary Clinton is more qualified than he was, more qualified than Hillary's husband Bill was. And you're right, though. That one line from Senator Kaine where he actually praised Hillary for putting in place tough sanctions on Iran, that was the one that made me step up and take notice because, again, it was the Obama-Clinton team that passed the Iranian deal that brought those sanctions down. So President Obama, yeah, of course he wants four more years because that Iranian deal's in place and he needs Hillary Clinton to keep it in place.
We're going to focus on the Iranian nuclear deal, the comments at the DNC last night, and ISIS as well, the comments by President Obama specifically. We come back from the break. In the second half hour of the broadcast, we're going to analyze why President Obama needs Hillary for his executive orders and executive actions to remain in place. So you don't want to miss today's show. We're taking your comments on Facebook and Periscope, and you can, of course, call us and be on the air at 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget, any donation to the ACLJ right now at aclj.org, any amount, in your email receipt, you'll receive a code so you can see our brand new ACLJ Films documentary, Abortion, Inc. It's brand new, so make a donation at aclj.org, any amount, so you can see our brand new documentary, Abortion, Inc. We'll be right back.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110, and we're broadcasting live on Facebook and Periscope, taking comments there as well. So get those comments in. You'll notice my dad and Logan are both traveling today, but Than Bennett is joining us in Washington, D.C. And I want to focus right now, because it was so important last night, on two things. One, at the ACLJ, we are in the final days of our matching challenge. That means that any donation you make to the ACLJ is doubled. And you can do it online at aclj.org. And we're a bit behind where we were last year. So for all the work that we do here in the United States, and we're going to be talking a lot about that in the second half of the broadcast when it comes to Obama's executive actions and this appeal again to the Supreme Court to rehear the immigration action cases. We'll talk about that with Harry Hutchinson, our senior policy analyst at the ACLJ. He'll be joining us in the studio in the second half. For all of the work that we do, we really need your financial support. This is a great time to donate to the ACLJ, because if you donated, let's say, $5, that becomes $10 to us at ACLJ. And you'd make that donation online at aclj.org. And here's something cool about your donation right now. If you donate online at aclj.org, in your email receipt, you will get a code so you can watch our brand new documentary. This was just released just yesterday, called Abortion Inc., focusing in on the abortion industry, how they are really not just a nonprofit groups, but they are an industry about making money in the business of killing babies, in the business of abortion. So you will get the code if you make an online donation, be part of our matching challenge at aclj.org, so you can watch that full-length documentary from ACLJ Films, Abortion Inc. That's online. You can see the preview of the film at abortionmovie.com, but you do have to make that donation. Any amount will count, and you'll get that code. You can then watch the full movie at abortionmovie.com. Again, aclj.org to make that donation. Let me play for you. This was what was most shocking as I was watching the DNC last night. Hillary Clinton had the heavy hitters out for her with President Obama and Vice President Biden, of course, her VP choice, Tim Kaine. But it was President Obama on ISIS. Take a listen. Bite number 9.
Our troops have pounded ISIL without mercy, taking out their leaders, taking back territory. And I know Hillary won't relent until ISIL is destroyed. She will finish the job.
Now, we heard yesterday from Governor Terry McAuliffe that Hillary Clinton has this grand plan to defeat ISIS. None of us have seen this plan. We can only imagine that it's to continue, as President Obama indicated there, his plan, which hasn't been working so well. And if we know that Hillary Clinton will defeat ISIS and she's got some great plan, why on earth wouldn't President Obama implement that plan right now so that if she does become president of the United States, her first job is not having to defeat the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria and their terror network that's now reaching around the world, the Western world, into whether it's the slitting of the throat of a Catholic priest in France or the terror attacks we faced here in the United States. Than to me, it is shocking that President Obama praises his own ISIS strategy and then gives the job over to Hillary Clinton to finish the job, as if in the final 5.5 months of his presidency, he couldn't do it on his own. If there's some great plan out there that the Democrats or Hillary Clinton have, why not implement it now? The country would rally behind them.
I think it's a very fair question, Jordan. In that 10-second clip that you just played, President Obama mentioned troops, he mentioned taking back territory, and he mentioned finishing the job. Keep in mind, on troops, this president has been insistent on not involving U.S. troops, whether that's smart or not. For him to say that our troops have relentlessly pounded them is not accurate. We've mainly relied on bombing campaigns, so that was not accurate. On taking back territory, remember, the strategy for this president has been one of containment. The only territory, Jordan, that has been taken back has been territory that ISIS has first gained. He has not pushed ISIS back. He has maybe recaptured territory that they gained. So I thought it was unfair for him to go there and then to finish the job. Remember, if he's going to finish the job, the strategy, again, has been one of containment. So it seems to suggest that a President Clinton would continue the strategy that is in place, which is one of containment, not defeating. I actually expect that Hillary Clinton will take the stage tonight and maybe take a slightly different tack, but this may have been a hat tip to what a strategy would look like under President Clinton. It may just be a continuation of that containment strategy.
We've talked about all along that President Obama and the White House and this administration have passed the ISIS problem on already to the next president of the United States. And President Obama made that clear last night. In his own words, ISIS will still be there when Hillary Clinton is president. It will be up to her to, quote, finish the job. And I'm not sure the job's really been started much. Stan mentioned these targeted airstrikes, but now we're seeing ISIS expand not just as a military group in Iraq and Syria, but also as an international terror network throughout the world, including our own country and the Western world, attack after attack after attack. Ultimately, to me, if there is some plan out there, one, I want to hear it from Hillary Clinton. And Stan said maybe she's going to explain that more. She's not going to get into great detail. I don't expect tonight in her main speech, Chelsea Clinton will be introducing her mother. But for President Obama to say, I think really, Than, in my own opinion, what he means is if we continue my strategy, the same one we believe is a failed strategy, Than, that ultimately ISIS gets defeated. We won't add those, as we talked about yesterday in the military platform from the DNC, won't put more troops on the ground. We really won't change much course. We'll make sure to hamstring the commander-in-chief.
I think you're exactly right. He thinks this strategy that I think by all reasonable accounts has been a dismal failure. I think he thinks that if there's 4 more years of this and President Clinton would advance those, that they would ultimately win. You know, I also thought, Jordan, it was an interesting juxtaposition with what Senator Kaine said. He was attacking Donald Trump for his line, believe me. And to me, when he was up there talking about ISIS, that is the question that came to mind for me. If you are telling me that a President Clinton would finish the job on ISIS, you have to give me a reason to believe that because your strategies have not been effective. We will see if we get more details from Secretary Clinton tonight on what those plans would be. If we don't, Jordan, I think it's very fair to assume that it's just a continuation and we shouldn't expect any different results than we've seen over the last several years.
1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're also broadcasting live on Facebook and Periscope. John writes on Facebook that Hillary is more qualified for what? You know, that was the big point of last night with Vice President Biden, Tim Kaine, President Obama even saying she's more qualified than he was when he took the presidency and beat her in that primary, that Hillary Clinton is so qualified for this. And then John went on to say, sure isn't national security, which I know is a reference to the fact that she was mishandling and extremely careless, in the words of the FBI director, which is gross negligence, which is a crime. They didn't want to prosecute the FBI with handling classified information. And of course, when it comes to national security, you can make comments and questions about her plans towards Iran, how Benghazi was handled. The list goes on. Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood taking power, Libya. I mean, I could, again, keep going on the Russian reset. That worked so well. But we'll take your phone calls as well. Let's go to Robert in Maryland on line 6. Robert, welcome to JSecio Live.
Yeah, hi, Jordan. Hi, Fan. I wanted to ask the both of you the question. Given the fact that President Obama spoke last night at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia, do you believe that his endorsement of Hillary Clinton to be the next president of the United States is legitimate, other than for political expediency, for the simple reason that many people in both the Obama circle and the Clinton circle know that the Obama and the Clintons can absolutely not stand one another? I mean, there's visceral hatred.
Yeah. Well, I think there's that political relationship there. They were adversaries, but he decided to put Hillary Clinton in his cabinet. So even after a very tough, in 2008, you know, you had this tough primary, the Democrat primary, and President Obama just edged her out. He put her in the cabinet as Secretary of State, one of the most high-profile positions. I'm not sure that there's a lot of love lost there personally. But when it comes to the Obama policies, Robert, this is why I do believe the endorsement was sincere from President Obama. I think Than will agree, is that President Obama needs Hillary Clinton. He needs Hillary Clinton to continue to implement his executive actions and executive orders. He needs Hillary Clinton to continue to go to court to defend those executive actions and executive orders. He needs Hillary Clinton to expand Obamacare, as she's already promised to do. He needs Hillary Clinton to keep the Iranian nuclear deal in place, because as you've heard from Donald Trump and many Republicans, they would start doing away with it on day one. It's complicated, but they say they will get rid of it. So he needs Hillary Clinton both to keep his domestic policy legacy and his international policy legacy. I think there may not be a lot of love lost personally, but when it comes down to the politics and the legacy of Obama, and not to mention the Supreme Court of the United States, which he needs to move to the left to keep these policies in place, that he absolutely wants her to be president of the United States.
Yeah, I 100% agree, Jordan. This was a real endorsement. You know, the motives behind it sure may have been political. In fact, many things that this president does seem to be motivated by politics, but it's real for every reason that you mentioned. And then tied into that, you know, he said that Hillary Clinton is more qualified than anybody who's ever run before. What he meant by that was that she has more government experience than anyone who has run before. I'm not sure the electorate is looking for that, but you're absolutely right. President Obama needs Hillary Clinton if his legacy is to be cemented and for his policy advances to continue.
When we come back, big cheers on day 3 at the Democrat National Convention for a speaker that praised her own abortion. And you'll hear that when we come back. She's the head lobbyist for the abortion industry, so they doubled down. The second night they had the head of Planned Parenthood. Last night, the head of NARAL, who talked about her own abortion and was cheered by the crowd. We'll play that when we come back. We'll continue the ISIS and the discussion we're having. Remember, if you donate now to ACLJ.org, it's our matching challenge, so your gift is doubled, and you'll get that code to watch our brand new ACLJ documentary, Abortion Inc.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-877 989-2255, or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to be taking your phone calls, your comments that have come in through Facebook and Periscope as well. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us. And remember, we've got a second half hour coming up. Harry Hutchinson, our senior policy analyst, is going to be joining us to talk about the same theme of why President Obama needs Hillary Clinton in the Oval Office, but on the issue specific to the executive actions, the executive orders, especially on an issue where there's a huge difference between the parties on immigration, or you may want to call it immigration reform. I think we all agree there has to be some reform. We need to figure out how to deal with the people who are the millions of people who are here illegally and the families that are here, but also border security. And it's always a question of what comes first. In my mind, secure the border, then deal with the 10 plus 12 million people. The number could be bigger who are here illegally, may have families and been in the United States a long time, but you must secure the border first. The Democrats, for the most part, they never will go along with that. And that's why we haven't seen significant reform. So we'll get into that and real analysis. So if you want to talk about that, give us a call now. You can get in the queue at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I do think we have to address an elephant in the room, if you will, Donald Trump, who is the Republican nominee for president, because he made a comment in my mind. When I heard this, I kind of chuckled a little bit. I thought it was just a joke and satire. Let's take a listen, because the Democrats are going nuts about this. Bite 27.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
Now, I think, you know, on the first part of that, it sounds like a joke. On the second part, maybe a little bit doubling down, like the press would award you. What was interesting to me, Than, was how the Democrats responded. I saw it mostly as a joke. And Mike Pence, the VP nominee for Republicans, made it clear in a post right away that if Russia is found out and their state actors were responsible for this hack at the DNC, they will be held accountable. There will be consequences for that. So, again, I think it goes to the joking nature of his comment. But it was the Democrats' response and their outrage. I think Charles Krauthammer said it may have been a perfect trap because they said it was a national security concern. And yet Hillary Clinton, the whole thing with the missing emails is that there's nothing about national security in those emails. There's nothing classified. There's nothing important. It's about yoga classes, and it's about grandchildren. It's not about national security. Yet they doubled down on that yesterday.
Yeah, I think maybe it was a careless thing to say, Jordan, but, you know, even if it was tongue-in-cheek. But the two things that made me chuckle here is, first of all, if Russia does have the emails that Donald Trump is talking about, you know why they have them? They have them because Hillary Clinton stored classified information on a server that was a personal server and not properly protected. So if they have the emails he's talking about in the first place, it is actually Secretary Clinton's fault that they have them. And second, the insinuation here is that Donald Trump was calling on Iran to, or on Russia, I'm sorry, to actually intervene in a U.S. election. It's pretty ironic, given that we just heard that the State Department, which Secretary Clinton led, did give grant money to an organization that directly intervened in Israel's election. Remember, directly against a candidate, the sitting prime minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu. So, you know, even if it was a careless remark on Donald Trump's part, I thought it was a big mistake for the Clinton campaign to wade in, because not only do they have no moral authority here, they actually have two significant missteps directly in this arena.
I think he's making a point, trying to use humor. And, you know, he delivered it very straight. But, I think it does make a point, actually, is that, you know, if we can't find the emails, and, you know, I think it was a joke. He's not encouraging foreign state actors to hack into Americans' emails, whether that's government emails, private servers, or political parties. And Mike Pence made that clear. But I did want to handle it, because I didn't want any of you to think we missed that or we're not going to talk about it. I think it's been handled now. Let's get to the phone calls. Diane in Washington State. Online too. Diane, thanks for holding on. After your call, hang on. We'll make sure to get a copy of one of our books, Undemocratic or The Rise of ISIS, to you for holding on. Thanks, Diane.
Five things. I felt Obama and all speakers were able to twist Hillary's accomplishments, quote unquote, to make it to beat Trump to the lie and make it look like Trump is lying. Number two, why does Obama wait until now to even mention ISIS and wait for Hillary to handle it? Number three, do Democrats not notice the lies? Did they not look at the news?
Let me jump in. One, the Democrats, now this is not speaking for all Democrats, but there was a lot of party unity when it came to elected officials on the Iranian nuclear deal, for instance. Tim Kaine supported that deal. And Hillary Clinton was outgoing at that point, Secretary of State, but she is a full-throated support of the Iranian nuclear deal. So there was wide Democrat support for the foreign policy so far of President Obama, including there's a lot of talk about should we authorize war, and they don't want to fully authorize the president. He doesn't want that authorization either. So I think, listen, you are seeing right now an appeal to Democrats and liberals. They're not so concerned about the Benghazi issue or Hillary's emails. So this is not an appeal yet to broader America. I think Hillary Clinton will do that tonight, or try to do that tonight, in her major address, the biggest speech of the convention. But ultimately, this is about trying to continue to unite their own party because of the Bernie Sanders-Clinton campaign. I do have to mention this before we start the second half of the show. And if you're hanging on the phones, we'll get to your calls, 1-800-684-3110, as well as your comments on Facebook and Periscope, as Jared wrote on Facebook. If corruption is a prerequisite, then yes, Hillary is tremendously qualified. I tend to agree with you Jared. But I did want to play, because the DNC doubled down on abortion. They didn't just have the Planned Parenthood president, Cecile Richards, the night before last, give a major speech center stage at the DNC about how great Planned Parenthood is and how great, how much they trust Hillary Clinton and how they should expand abortion so that all of us have to pay for it, get rid of the Hyde Amendment, which now Tim Kaine has caved on. But they brought in last night, so two nights in a row. First, they had the number one abortion provider in the world in the country speak, their head. Then they brought in the number one abortion lobbying group in D.C., NARAL Pro-Choice America, Elise Hoag. And she praised her own abortion. And take a listen to the crowd's response. I'll tell you, they're between DNC, RNC, by 21.
When I found out I was pregnant years ago, I wanted a family, but it was the wrong time. I made the decision that was best for me, to have an abortion and get compassionate care at a clinic in my own community.
And you hear there the roars, and we can't play all of it, but the roars from the crowd. I think, Than, to me, it just shows a major difference between a Republican and Democrat, especially their party regulars, their delegates, on this issue of life and specifically on abortion, is that they praise it. They cheer it on. They're proud of it. They keep using the term, which in the past they've said right to choose, but they haven't really used abortion. Two nights in a row, they have major abortion speakers deliver remarks at the DNC center stage.
Yeah, first of all, Jordan, as a father of three, those remarks really grieve me. There is no wrong time to welcome a child into your family. It's a blessing beyond measure. But yes, it shows the left even moving further left into the space of taxpayer-funded abortions. And Jordan, here's maybe the most telling thing. It happened on a night where the focus was supposed to be national security, and still, even on that night, one of the main headlines coming out was an adherence to a very radical position on abortion. It was very disappointing.
Yeah, the decision that was best for the head of NARAL Pro-Choice America was to kill her child. That's why we have a brand new documentary out called Abortion, Inc. We've played the preview, and that's available at aclj.org and abortionmovie.com. But to see the full-length feature documentary, and this is brand new, Abortion, Inc., from ACLJ Films, you have to make a donation to the American Center for Law and Justice. Any amount, by the way. There's no minimum amount you have to donate at aclj.org. When you do, you'll get an email receipt, and that'll have the code so you can watch the full movie at abortionmovie.com. So make a donation. It's a matching challenge, aclj.org.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110, as well as your comments on Facebook and Periscope. Don't forget right now, we're in the final days of the ACLJ's matching challenge. Anything you're able to donate to the ACLJ is doubled. So $5 becomes $10, $10 becomes $20, hey, $50 becomes $100. And it's also cool because if you're part of the matching challenge right now and make that online donation at aclj.org, you will get something in return, our gift to you, which is our full-length documentary. It's brand new, Abortion, Inc., I think it's very timely in light of the last couple of nights, because the night before last, you had the head of Planned Parenthood take center stage at the DNC, talk about how great Hillary Clinton will be for abortion, using the word abortion. Even that alone is a change in how these advocates for abortion, the abortion industry, usually talk. They don't like to always use that word, but they're seeming more proud about it. Usually they talk about choice and choosing now. And then last night, the head lobbyist for the abortion industry talked about her own abortion and got cheers from the crowd. So we have this brand new documentary out, Abortion, Inc. Any donation you make at aclj.org, you'll be part of the matching challenge. So it doubles the impact of your gift, and we need your financial support to do the work that we do here in the United States and around the world. But you'll get in your email receipt, there will be a code so you can go to abortionmovie.com and watch the full-length documentary. So you can both be part of our matching challenge and get access to our full-length documentary, which is brand new, Abortion, Inc. The preview for that's up at aclj.org. I want to get right to some phone calls people have been holding on the line. Than Bennett's joining us as well, our Director of Government Affairs in Washington, D.C. Let's go to Vlad calling in from Asheville, North Carolina, on line 5. Hi, Vlad.
Hey, I have a question. If Hillary wasn't able or unwilling to protect the sensitive information, why should we trust her to protect our country?
I have no idea, actually. I don't think she's made a great case for that. She will be speaking tonight. That will be up to her. Than, you had heard a lot of speakers last night. Their focus was she's qualified. She's got all these qualities. She's done all these different jobs. But for a lot of those things that she praises and other Democrats praise, we strongly disagree with. I mean, they talk about these tough sanctions that she put on Iran that Tim Kaine talked about, but those are all gone now. And there's a nuclear deal that puts Iran on a path to a nuclear weapon. So that's gone. Benghazi, of course, the classified emails, the leaks, these private server. I mean, to me, Than, that is her biggest hurdle in this election, is trustworthiness, and specifically making the right decisions to keep our country safe.
Yeah, I fully agree, Jordan. You know, when it became clear that Secretary Clinton was going to be the Democrat nominee, one of the things I was most interested in is how she would address this question, because she was going to have a very, very hard time walking away from the president's position on this, because she's been so lockstep with it as Secretary of State and our lead diplomat overseas. And yet, if you look around at the electorate, if you look at polling, Jordan, the voters have recognized the growing threat to the United States. National security has risen all the way up to compete directly with domestic economic interest in what voters care most about. So I really think if Secretary Clinton is going to have a chance to win this election, she is going to have to tack to the right. She's going to have to be stronger on national security. And yet, I don't know how she accomplishes it, especially in the wake of what President Obama said. You need to elect Secretary Clinton so that she can finish the job that I started. Well, the job that President Obama started, at least on foreign policy and national security, it has been a failure. So yeah, I don't know what Hillary Clinton
folks,
does with that.
Do you agree with President Obama's comment last night about the strength of America, bite 11?
Almost every country on earth sees America as stronger and more respected today than they did 8 years ago when I took office.
Yeah. So in Benghazi, our consulate gets attacked. You had the Muslim Brotherhood take over Egypt. In Turkey, things just kind of out of control, and Erdogan stamping down on power. The Russians annex Crimea. We have the rise of ISIS, both in Iraq and Syria. I'm not sure the world does see us as stronger than ever before. We're still a strong country, and we can be stronger. And that can be changed very quickly, because we've got the resources, we've got the manpower, we have the men and women who serve in our armed forces ready to go. But we need a change in policy. Folks, we'll be right back, taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. And remember, we've got a brand new documentary, Abortion, Inc. Any donation you make online, you'll get at aclj.org, you'll get the email receipt with a code so you can watch that at abortionmovie.com and be part of our matching challenge to double your donation.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. I'm joined by Than Bennett, our Director of Government Affairs, who's in Washington, D.C., and Harry Hutchinson, who is a senior policy analyst for us at the ACLJ. We wanted to dive deeper into what was happening last night at the DNC and throughout. In my opinion, and I think we all kind of share this, the idea that all of these political allies, from Bernie Sanders to President Obama last night, want Hillary Clinton. I mean, they're saying, please, please, please get Hillary Clinton in office because of the nuclear deal, because of the executive actions and executive orders, because they want to expand Obamacare. And remember, there were executive actions when it comes to Obamacare as well. So they need to keep those in place. They want to push the Supreme Court further left. I mean, there's a whole host of issues why, both internationally and domestic. They don't want major ground forces in Syria and Iraq. Unless we hear something different from Hillary Clinton last night, it seems like her and President Obama agree on the ISIS strategy. He says she'll finish the job. We played that sound. If she knows how to finish this, I would hope she explains it to us tonight, and because I think America would rally around that idea right now to destroy ISIS. We don't have to wait until the next president of the United States takes the oath of office, and I think Republicans and Democrats would agree on that. But let me go right now to Harry Hutchinson, our senior policy analyst here at the ACLJ. Harry, this goes to that bigger theme of Obama needs Hillary to carry on this legacy of what we've called lawlessness, and not even executive orders, but executive actions, and they're challenging one of the decisions at the Supreme Court. They're not unprecedented, but rare, trying to bring back a case to the Supreme Court on immigration as well. So there's a lot of reasons why President Obama may not love Hillary Clinton as a friend, but politically needs her to be the one taking the oath of office in January.
Absolutely, Jordan. I think the president needs Hillary Clinton to provide cover for his own executive orders and executive overreach. And the president's executive overreach has now reached, in my opinion, epic proportions. The current administration continues to double down on a strategy that I believe would usher in a new dark age in which the rule of law is left in tatters. And it's therefore clear that the current administration needs Hillary Clinton. And so let me give you a few examples of lawlessness. First, the United States Supreme Court has slapped down the administration's attempt to rewrite America's immigration laws despite the president's admission that he's not a king. Last week, dissatisfied with the judicial effort to limit its lawlessness, the administration filed a petition for a rehearing before the Supreme Court in an effort to place on hold the court's decision, which blocks executive overreach. Second, District Judge Hannon has issued a blistering opinion, finding that Department of Justice lawyers admitted making false and misleading statements, both in writing and in open court, in an effort to conceal the president's deferred action program designed to expand the rights of illegal immigrants. Third, the ACLJ has already filed one federal lawsuit against the Obama administration's State Department in order to uncover their lies and censorship about nuclear negotiations with Iran.
So all the issues that got discussed last night about in President Obama telling the American people, this is why we need Hillary Clinton. We need to save all of these issues. We need to save that Iranian nuclear. Tim Kaine also mentioned that. We got to save that deal. We've got to save what we've done on immigration. We've got to continue, as you said, the lawlessness and the protection of the lawlessness. And by the way, if we can get a couple, one or two more liberal Supreme Court justices there, they'll make sure to protect it for us.
Absolutely. And if you look at recent Supreme Court opinions, particularly dissenting opinions issued by liberal justices, in general, they are highly supportive of the administration's effort to rewrite the law.
Yeah.
Judge Posner, a Seventh Circuit judge, has argued that the Constitution is indeed irrelevant. And so we're now moving into an age where liberal justices of the Supreme Court and liberal judges are openly admitting that they no longer wish to be bound by the Constitution. And that provides an open door for additional instances of executive overreach.
And we're fighting that at the ACLJ. I mean, we're ready for this. There's not a specific timeline on what they've done at the Supreme Court on Texas. It could be the court issues something in October, you know, first Monday, October, when they're back. But they could also hold it over until there is another justice on the Supreme Court. Right now, there's eight. So the election could have serious consequences to what happens with this latest move by the DOJ to try and undo what the Supreme Court's already done once.
Precisely. And so if you look at the DOJ petition carefully, that's precisely the argument that they're making to the United States Supreme Court. Please rehear this case. But why don't you wait until there's a full court? Their hope is that Hillary Clinton is elected and she gets the opportunity to nominate. And more likely than not, if the Senate flips.
Right, which we talked about with Dan, yep.
Then this nominee will be confirmed and then deferred action, even though it's contrary to the rule of law,
right,
will indeed be put into effect.
A huge expansion of presidential power, too. We've always, on this issue, talked about the one hand on the immigration side of this issue, and we said that sometimes that's an illusion because the real focus is on expanding presidential authority and power to act without congressional authorization. I mean, Than, that has been a tough line for, I think, people because you can get caught up in immigration. And obviously, that's going to be a huge issue in this election. But Than, it's been, we always try to make that distinction that this is really about, if you don't like the president, this unilateral presidency idea or executive power overreach and expansion, the Supreme Court has already said no to it once. But if it was to change the court and they've got now five and a liberal justice gets appointed, and as Harry and you've pointed out, the Senate flips, things like that, kind of worst case scenarios piling up, the presidents would have this authority to act on a number of issues in contrary to the law on the books in this sense that, well, we've got to do something so the president can just do it. A huge expansion of presidential power, not just on immigration.
Yeah, I really think this is the most important issue in that case, Jordan. I mean, the immigration issue has gotten all the headlines because it's a hot button issue, because there are real ramifications on that issue from the outcome of this case. But from the very beginning, when your dad went before the House Judiciary Committee, this is the point we made. If the president can overstep the clear constitutional authority that was granted to Congress in Article 1, so specifically in this case, there is almost no area where he can't step in and take either Congress's power or the court's power. It is an overstep of that separation of powers that is really breathtaking. So, yes, immigration ramifications, sure, but it's really an expansion of that. And just quickly, Jordan, that is why people of all different views on the immigration issue stood with us on that brief. Over 100 members of Congress from all areas on immigration stood for us on that separation of powers issue.
Yeah, I want to take some phone calls as well. We've been talking about a lot of different issues. Harry's going to stay with us, but I know Mary Ellen has been holding from Illinois on the ISIS issue, and certainly worth mentioning and talking about now. Mary Ellen, welcome to the show. Thanks for holding, and if you hold on, we'll make sure to get you a book after you give your comments and questions on the air.
Oh, thank you. Hello?
Yep, you're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hi, Jordan, Dan, Harry. In listening to President Obama, I heard what I called a huge flaw in his strategy. He's focusing only on wiping out the ISIS stronghold in the Mideast, but he fails to also address what we know from intelligence, that there's been infiltration of the migrants into Europe who've been directed to take the jihad there and to the United States and all over the world.
You want to hear something scary? Our FBI director in testimony has said there will be a diaspora of terrorists coming in from Syria in Iraq at some point if we allow these refugees in, and Europe is already facing that. So just mass waves of terrorists. But take a listen, because Mary Ellen, you're right. When the president and this administration talk ISIS, they divide ISIS into ISIS, the international terror group, and ISIS, what they talk about that they're defeating in Iraq and Syria. And he really only mentioned that in his speech last night, Bite 9.
Our troops have pounded ISIL without mercy, taking out their leaders, taking back territory. And I know Hillary won't relent until ISIL is destroyed. She will finish the job.
So he's focusing on ISIS, or as he likes to call it, ISIL, as the state actor, the one who is governing and taking territory and has a military force in Syria and Iraq and has expanded into Libya, and not including also the terror reach of ISIS because of that network that they've been able to and the territory they control. And so he's divided those two issues. We're going to take a lot more of your phone calls. Hang on the line, 1-800-684-3110, and your questions and comments on Facebook and Periscope. Harry and Than are going to stay with us as well to answer your questions, to continue the discussion. Remember, it's an important time to donate. A matching challenge. We're a bit behind where we were last year. Anything you donate online at aclj.org is doubled, so you can double the impact of your donation, and you'll get a code to watch our brand new DVD documentary in your email receipt, Abortion Inc. And those Democrats last night, they were doubling down two nights in a row on abortion. We'll be right back.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. Radical Islamic jihadists have launched a global war, determined to destroy America, to destroy Israel. The persecution of Christians around the globe is unprecedented. And here at home, there are growing threats to our own national security. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. In our final segment, we take your phone calls and we do rapid fire. We take as many as possible. The lines are, we got one line open right now at 1-800-684-3110. And any of the topics we've covered, we've been focusing on, of course, the Democrat convention. And the night three is done. We focused on that. That was a big night last night because you had President Obama, Vice President Biden, and, of course, the VP nominee for the Democrats, Senator Tim Kaine, all praising how great Hillary Clinton is and going after pretty strongly, by the way, Donald Trump in a way we haven't seen some of these leaders do yet. Tonight's the biggest night because Hillary Clinton has to put all the great things said about her and deliver the message herself and maybe expound on some of these issues like that were mentioned in passing, like how we're going to defeat ISIS and what we're going to do about terrorism and immigration issues and the Supreme Court, and the list goes on. But I want to get right to your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We also get your comments on Facebook and Periscope. Logan is out today, but we have still tried to get as many of those comments in as we possibly can. And we appreciate you watching and listening and interacting that way through Facebook and Periscope. Let's go right to the phones, and let's go to Cameron calling in from Oregon Online 2. Cameron, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for holding on, and you're on the air.
Hi, guys. So what I want to know is why we are avoiding the important issues and doubling down on abortion when it's clearly an issue of morality, not a political issue, and we've literally got special interest groups speaking at these events. It makes no sense to me.
Well, I mean, right now we're highlighting what's happening. I think it's actually it is special interest groups. I don't know if you were listening yesterday or the day before, but what we said very clearly, Than, is that the abortion industry is maybe second to labor unions, the most important interest group to Democrats, the most supportive group to Democrats in Washington, D.C., and even in state and local elections.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first of all, I would say abortion was actually not mentioned all that much last week at the RNC. I actually thought it should have come up more.
The platforms are very clear, though. Platforms are very clear. And that, to point out, I mean, the differences could not be more clear. Yeah. But no, it didn't. It wasn't mentioned much at all.
Well, and I guess the only reason I point that out is because I think the reason that it is so prominent this week is because what you pointed out, that the special interests have dominated what gets talked about. And maybe Hillary Clinton does see this as a base election. If she can drive out her base, she will win. I tend to think it will be one in the middle on the national security issue. But I think this week has showed really the adherence to the abortion industry that the left still has in this country.
And Harry, we know when Republicans, which they did last week, talk about appointing conservative judges to the Supreme Court, justices to the Supreme Court, that is code word. And even those who have been listed so far by Donald Trump, they're all pretty strongly pro-life. I mean, they are in stark contrast in their opinions to who Hillary Clinton would appoint.
Absolutely. And so I think this week is a week of pushback. And the Democrats are highlighting the importance of abortion and abortion rights to their base, particularly their far left base. There are many people in the Democrat Party that are ideologically committed to abortion, and they think that's the single most important issue in the forthcoming election. And as a consequence, they discount the importance of ISIS. They discount the terrorist attacks that are occurring virtually daily in Europe. For them, life is about the right to an abortion.
Yeah, we say worship at the altar of abortion, these groups like Planned Parenthood and NARAL. Nancy Esposito writes in on Facebook, in the Democrat platform, we pointed this out yesterday, but again today, they want the Hyde Amendment to be repealed. That means abortions at taxpayers' expense. That means government-funded abortions for anyone, abortion on demand, paid for with your taxpayer dollars. Right now, the Hyde Amendment's in place. They would like a full repeal. Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton's choice for VP, he switched on this. He's gone all in on the abortion industry. He used to support the Hyde Amendment. He calls himself personally pro-life. He now has said he supports the repeal of the Hyde Amendment, which does mean that you and I would be paying for people's abortions right here in the United States of America. Let's get back to the phones. Paula in Texas on line four. Paula, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, I'm just wondering, is there any way somebody can, like you guys, I support you and I listen to you daily. It's the only straight talk I get. I can't listen to the media. Is there any way that Donald Trump can be educated on the high points and quit wasting his time bringing up these
Donald Trump, I'll say, Paula, and you got a little line issue, but I think I got what you're saying. Donald Trump is Donald Trump. So on the issue, like yesterday we talked about in the last segment, the Russia issue, which I think was kind of a joke, tongue-in-cheek, and you could say appropriate or not appropriate. Mike Pence, I think, cleaned that up by saying if a state actor is responsible for hacking into any American's email or government emails or party emails or private servers, they should be held and they will be held accountable. I think he was making more of a joke about the idea that, you know, these missing Clinton emails. And by the way, the Clinton campaign comes back and says, oh, how could he say that? It would be a national security risk. But we've been told that those emails are just personal, that they don't contain national security information, nothing we should be worried about. So I think, again, it's a side issue. This is not going to be a focus on the campaign. Donald Trump's been invited to appear on this broadcast. We had many of the candidates on. So is Hillary Clinton. If she wants to be on, we'll be fair to all of them. If anybody wanted to call us about an issue as well to discuss it, we will be there to answer their phone calls. On to that issue as well, let's go to Julie, who's been holding on from Texas on line six. And Julie, I want to make sure after your comment, hang on and we'll make sure you get a copy of one of our books that you're choosing, either Undemocratic or Rise of ISIS. You've been hanging on a long time. We appreciate that you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. Regarding the Republicans' platform about abortion, that there's no exceptions for rape or incest, but Donald Trump has stated that he does make those exceptions. And so that's really difficult for a person who holds abortion as a key determinant for electing the next president. Second, I wish he were more presidential in his speech. He speaks without filters all the time.
Yep.
But it's really, you know, the Democratic National Convention also stated that Hillary would be more responsible about the nuclear codes.
I get it. I mean, listen, and Julie, remember to hang on, but we're just running out of time. I'd say, one, on the platform issue, when you talk about the exceptions for abortion, the major pro-life groups in America are okay with those exceptions because they are so rare. In fact, that's why the abortion procedure itself was started. It was not to have abortion on demand. It was in cases of rape, incest, or when the families have to make a very difficult decision. And less likely now because of the technology, but when the life of the mother is implanted, these are a very small percent, not even maybe 1% of abortions that cover that. So that is not a huge issue to me personally. Now, I'm not speaking for the ACLJ on that, but just to me, and the pro-life groups have been okay with those exceptions. On the second issue, very quickly, Harry and Thayer, we have 50 seconds, so you each get 10 seconds. That is the contrast Julie brings up that they want to make. Donald Trump won this primary based off being Donald Trump and not like other presidential candidates. But Hillary Clinton's trying to say you don't necessarily want to trust him, and so are her surrogates, Than and then Harry.
I think he needs to be more forward-looking, but at the same time, what he's doing, Jordan, it has worked for him to this point.
And I think Than is precisely correct.
Yep.
Donald Trump has to be Donald Trump. And if he tries to change in midstream, I don't think it's going to work.
No, and it's not going to happen. We're months away now. He could get more prepared and better on the policy and explain it more. I think that would be good. He's got the time now. Folks, remember, matching challenge, we're a bit behind. Go to aclj.org. Your gift will be doubled, and you'll get a code to watch our brand new documentary in your email receipt, Abortion Inc. You don't want to miss that. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's a tense and dangerous time around the world and right here in the United States. The American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines defending life and liberty. And now your support can really make a tremendous difference. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift right now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the ACLJ right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at ACLJ.